Psalm 24, beginning at verse 7. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So far the reading. In the name of our Lord who comes. There is an old and persistent tradition regarding the origin of this psalm, although neither the psalm itself nor any reference in the historical books of the Old Testament specifically supports the tradition. In the Jewish tradition, which was picked up and repeated by Christian commentators and preachers across the centuries, Psalm 24 was regarded as the celebratory text that David composed for the occasion when he brought the Ark of the Covenant up to the city of Jerusalem for the first time. And that incident is recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 6. After David had taken the city of Jerusalem and had decided to make it the capital city for the kingdom of Israel, he arranged to have Israel's central worship place, the tabernacle, also set up there in the city of Jerusalem. But the Ark of the Covenant had been absent from the tabernacle for many years. It had been captured in battle at one point by the arch rivals of the Israelites, the Philistines. And when the Philistines decided that they didn't want it anymore, it was returned to the Israelites, and it sat in the house of an Israelite in a town just west of the city of Jerusalem for a period of about 20 years. But when David's kingship was secure, he arranged then to bring the ark up to the city of Jerusalem, and the celebration included a procession, a troop of singers and instrumentalists playing a variety of percussion and stringed instruments and trumpets. And it was led by King David himself, who, according to the biblical text, danced at the head of the procession with great exuberance. The words leaping and whirling are used in the biblical text to describe what David did in that dance of the day of celebration. Well, David's rather over-the-top exuberance that day led to a domestic incident in the palace. His wife was embarrassed by his behavior, and she let him know with some rather sharp words of criticism. She considered what David had done a very undignified and unkingly display of emotion. Apparently, in her mind, the proper behavior for royalty on such occasions was to stand by the roadside and wave, you know, the Queen Elizabeth kind of thing. Well, David defended his behavior that day with the argument that he was appropriately very excited about the importance and significance of the occasion. And in any case, whatever he had done to the glory of the God of Israel. Well, the Ark of the Covenant was connected with the concept of the presence of God in the midst of his people. Its rightful place was the place of preeminence in the tabernacle, in that inner room, the most holy place. Its covering or lid was a very special thing. The traditional translation for the lid of the Ark of the Covenant was mercy seat. A better term for it might be the place of propitiation or the place of atonement, the place where atonement was made for human sinfulness by the application of the sacrificial blood by the high priest each year on the great day of atonement. On the lid of the ark were two angel figures, the cherubim with their outstretched wings, And right there, in connection with those angels, was the place of the special presence of God in the midst of his people. Several places in the Old Testament refer to the God of Israel as the God who sits enthroned between the cherubim. Well, let's assume for the moment that there is something to the old tradition, and that David composed Psalm 24 for that celebration when he brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem and restored it to its position in the most holy place in the tabernacle. We can envision the procession carrying the Ark of the Covenant approaching the walls of the city of Jerusalem. The singers cry out, addressing the gates of the city as a metaphor for the whole city and its population. And their words have rhythm and cadence, which can be captured in English if we just tweak our translations just a bit. The singers cry out with words like these, Se'u sha'arim rasheichem, lift up your heads, O you gates, v'hina se'u pitchei olam, lift yourselves up, you doors everlasting, v'yavo melech hakavod, the King of Glory shall enter. And then the people of Jerusalem respond by asking for the credentials of the king who seeks entrance into their city. They say, Mi ze melech hakavod? Who is this King of Glory? And the answer comes back from the procession, Adonai izuz v'gibor, the Lord strong and mighty. Adonai gibor milchama, the Lord mighty in battle. And then the psalm employs the most basic of all rhetorical techniques, which is simply repetition. The dialogue between the approaching procession and the inhabitants of the city is repeated with a little variation at the very end. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall enter. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. The King of Glory is identified by the personal name of God, the name associated with the fact that he had bound himself to his people Israel by a covenant of grace. According to ancient Jewish piety, his name was too holy to pronounce, and so the word Lord was substituted for it. But his name is Yahweh, the one who is and was and is to come. And he is Yahweh of hosts, the one who commands the legions of angels. He is unlimited in power, invincible in battle, and unsurpassed in glory because he is God. And he graciously condescends to dwell in the midst of his people and give them a glimpse of his power and glory, which he uses not to terrify them, but to deliver them from all that opposes them. The Old Testament incident that we have described points us to a greater coming and arrival of the presence of God in the midst of his people. St. John describes it with that astonishing expression, the Word, that is, the eternal Son of God, who is none other than Yahweh of the Old Testament, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Advent proclamation goes out to us as well. Lift up your heads. The King of Glory is coming. Who is this King of Glory? He is God in human flesh. He is unlimited in power, invincible in battle, unsurpassed in glory. The Father did not send him into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There is only one way to celebrate his coming appropriately. Believe the truth that he comes to provide us with the redemption that we so desperately need. And blessed are you in that faith.